As you know, in the last few weeks, we've been talking about our values as a church. If you go for an induction day at a new job, most companies will talk to you about their values. You will, if you're looking at the website of a charity or an organisation, they will often try to sell you their values. And as a church, we decided it was time that we had a clear statement of what our values really were. Because whereas the Church of Jesus Christ, in a sense, ought to have the same values everywhere, the reality is local congregations have different values, things that are higher up their pecking order of what matters to them. And so far we've talked about relationship, which we've talked about as our prime value, community, worship, understanding, and today is our fifth value, and we're going to talk about truth. Our key verse this morning was one that Bill read out to us. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And Jesus also said in John chapter 8, if you continue in my word, you are really my disciples, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So, it would be quite reasonable for us to be a little bit like Pilate today and say, what is truth? I like this quotation. When an honest man discovers he is mistaken, he will either cease being mistaken or cease being honest. Think about that for a minute. It's important to us as a church that we recognise the truth. These verses that we've read to us today, like Jesus says, I am the truth. These verses tell us something about God's Son, the incarnation of God, that Jesus himself is God's truth. Jesus is the truth. So for us, we are not defining truth by a negative. It would be easy to say, oh, well, we mustn't tell lies. And that's what truth is. But actually, for the Christian, truth is not defined by what it isn't, but it is defined as being more than just honesty. It's defined as more than just not telling lies. But it's about manifesting the truth of God to people. And that truth is Jesus. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of Jesus. This is the truth. And we must be people of the truth. We must be people of Jesus. People who reveal Jesus to other people. The truth is about living life the way Jesus wants us to. It's about telling people the truth of the gospel. It's about revealing Jesus to them. It's about them seeing Jesus in us. Sometimes, even in church, we may not tell everybody everything. Mainly because not everybody wants to know everything. And the back office issues, the things that happen that keep the church going and make the church accessible to everyone, these things are matters that make the church run, but not everybody needs to know them. So I suppose you could say some things we conceal, but the only things really that we would conceal are those that are private, that no one has a right to know. But as a church, we try to avoid any idea at all of a culture of concealment. We don't want to cover up anything from anybody, but you have a right to expect that something that you have said in confidence will not be revealed from the pulpit. And in that sense, you might say, well, if you tell the truth, you would tell us everything that so-and-so had said to you. Well, you have no right to know that. I can speak the truth without revealing the truth of something. There was a young lady that I counseled when I was about 20 years old. She was pregnant. She was a pastor's daughter. And nobody knew. She told me, nobody else knew. I have kept that a secret all these years. I am no longer 20, I can assure you. You might say, Stephen, you look young. You need to go to Specsavers. But the truth is, I have kept that secret. You might say, well, they found out fairly quickly, didn't they? No, because actually she lost the baby. And no one found out. But the point is that when we need to not say something, we don't say it. We don't have to tell everybody everything about us, but we do have to represent the truth. And that might mean for you that you do have to tell somebody something which you do not feel is appropriate. But to the ability to be able to speak privately to a church leader and know it won't go any further is just as much about truth as it would be to tell it from the mountaintops. Because we have to have that level of integrity and truth in our lives that allows us to keep our mouths shut when they should be. Do you get that? It's true, isn't it? We don't have to tell everybody all the grisly details. In some groups who call themselves church, there has been a tendency to suppress the truth. And sometimes people say, well, the government are terrible. They bring in all these regulations that churches have to follow. For example, safeguarding, regulations on looking after children. When we started as a church, we had to put together a safeguarding policy immediately. And Paul will tell you it was something we sweat great drops of blood on. We'd come from having no background in it, but to operate as a church, you have to have, by law, a safeguarding policy. Now, the fact is, it's great. It's something that should have been done years and years before it was, because the government has helped the church cover itself appropriately. The fact is, none of us would think it appropriate for us to walk around naked in town. Somebody needs to say to you, put your clothes on. And the fact is, the government taught us to put our clothes on when it comes to children's ministry and safeguarding. And I would never say that was a horrible thing the government say. I would say that the government did a really good job with that. So, you see, some things we have to declare the truth that it's improper for just anybody to have access to children in a private way. We would say that it should all be done openly. We've got glass windows put in the kids' church rooms on both doors, so anybody going past can see what's happening. You know, that's appropriate behaviour when you've got children in a room. And all our children's workers have got an enhanced disclosure, which tells us everything we need to know about them to make the decision to put them in that role. These are very important things that help us. We operate in truth, and that is a value of this church. Remember how when we talked about worship, we said we must worship him in spirit and in truth. You remember that, don't you? Well, in Romans 1, it says they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served something created instead of the Creator who is blessed forever. You see, you can exchange truth for a lie and worship somebody else. Your worship can be diverted, and we don't want that kind of worship. Ephesians 4, verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, let us grow in every way into him who is the head, Christ. If we speak the truth in love, that will moderate the truth that we use. I'm not here trying to quote a certain Mrs. Thatcher, who once talked about being economical with the truth. It's not that we're economical with the truth, it's that we speak the truth in love. And love tells you when not to say some things, and it also tells you when you do have to say some things, because we do have to speak in love. So we're looking to be true in worship, true in witness, true in fellowship. These are important values to us. So we will never deliberately cover anything up unless it would be improper to reveal it. But that which we have been told in confidence remains in confidence unless there are legal reasons that would make us say something, or unless someone was at risk if we didn't say something. Other than those reasons, we would keep our tongues still. Instead, we encourage the church to reveal that which should be known to all. The good news that Jesus died for our sins, and has risen from the dead to bring us life. He will soon return to take us to a place he's prepared for us. These things are truth. And we want to reveal the truth. We want to talk about the truth. Ephesians 6, verse 13 to 14 says, "This is why you must take up the full armour of God, so that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having prepared everything, to take your stand. Stand, therefore, with truth like a belt around your waist." If truth is a belt around your waist, then it's truth that holds your pants up. And the fact is, that is appropriate, that truth should keep us covered, and we want to be covered in truth. 1 Timothy 2, 3-6. God, our Saviour, wants everyone to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. The knowledge of the truth is the knowledge of Jesus. We want everybody to be saved. So we want everybody to know the truth. It's important that we share this truth. In our society, there is a lot of political pressure on us to not tell the truth. They don't want us to talk about Jesus in the workplace. They don't want us to talk about Jesus in the open air. They only want us to talk about Jesus locked away in a room. And whereas we are happy to do that, we also need to talk about Jesus in these other places as well. We have to do it with a certain amount of careful thought, because we don't want to cause ourselves immediately to be kicked out of our work or anything like that. But we still need to share the truth. And it's important that we as a church stand up for the right to speak the truth. Truth is not only like a light that dispels darkness, but it also reveals and lights up our lives. We become lighthouses that keep everyone off the rocks, and surely that's a good thing. You know, my mother used to tell me when I was growing up, she used to tell me a load of rubbish, by the way, but she did tell me one or two good things. And one of those things was, telling the truth is much easier than telling a lie. Because if you tell the truth, you don't have to remember all that you've said previously. Because when you tell lies, you need to have a good memory. Because otherwise, you trip yourself up when you tell the truth. It's very difficult. And so, we do encourage people to be honest. We encourage people to be open before God. We encourage people, basically, to know the truth and let the truth set them free. So there are a couple of other words that go with truth. One is integrity. Integrity. There's a famous C.S. Lewis quote, which is up there, and I think most people have heard this before. Integrity is doing the right thing, even when no one is watching. And of course, there are lots of pressures on us to behave one way when people are watching, and not when they are not. But Paul says to Titus, set an example of good works yourself with integrity and dignity in your teaching. Your message is to be sound beyond reproach, so that the opponents will be ashamed, having nothing bad to say about us. The psalmist in Psalm 51, that great psalm of repentance, where David is opening his heart to God after what he's done with Bathsheba and how he's killed Uriah the Hittite. David says these words, "Surely you desire integrity in the inner self." And surely God does desire integrity. What is that integrity? It is truth being worked out in us. It's truth in our behaviour. It's an authentic, it's an integrated behaviour, a behaviour with integrity, even when people are not looking. If we can do the right thing when no one is watching, it is much easier to do the right thing when everyone is watching. We need to be people who let Christ live out his life in us and live out his truth in us, so that the world can see it, and so that the world can see Christ in us doing that which is true and good. We need to have consistency in our lives, not to be one thing when we're at church and another thing when we're at home. In the past, I have had to deal with people who have been lovely, solid members of the church. People who you would say, oh, what a lovely man of God he is. But he hit his wife when he got home. And you know, sometimes in church, these things are revealed and we have to deal with them. It's totally inappropriate for a man to hit his wife. But what we need to understand is that above anything else, we need to have integrity, which says what we are when we are in the church is what we are when we're not in the church. When we worship in the church, we may worship God with our hands in the air, we may leap around, we may be very excited, but what are we like when we worship at home? You know, we need to have a consistency in our life which is about integrity. 1 John 3 says, little children, we must not love in word or speech, but in deed and in truth. What we love should be an expression of the truth of Jesus within us. The other word that's to do with truth is authenticity. If you buy a memorabilia on eBay, it should come with a certificate of authenticity. Because if it doesn't, it's probably a fake. And this guy's got a t-shirt on that says, I assure, hearby certify that the wearer of this shirt is real, not a hologram or a mirage. If you get buy a t-shirt worn by David Beckham on eBay, it should come with a certificate of authenticity signed by David Beckham saying, I wore this shirt on the 14th of May 2015, and then I threw it away. It should be like that. And we have to realise that the fact is, authenticity is an expression of truth in our lives and behaviour. If you find an old painting in your loft, you take it to an expert to have it checked. If it's an old master, it has to be authenticated. If it's just something your great aunt Frieda once painted on a bad day, it is of no real value, except sentimentally. But if it ends up being a Constable or a Van Gogh, well, that's a different kettle of fish. And that's why we authenticate things. And our lives are authenticated by the work of Christ within us. Galatians 5, the characteristics of Jesus, the fruits of the Spirit, we normally call them, that add to your life, you know, faith and kindness and gentleness and all these things that are in that list, ends with self-control. These are the things that mark us out as being authentic Christians. When we worship, our worship should be authentic. Our prayer life, it should be authentic. We should actually pray. I mean, do you just sit there quietly thinking about how much shopping you've got to do, or how much washing's got to be done when you get home, or what you've got to do at work tomorrow? Do you just sit there? Or is your prayer effective and righteous? Is it authentic? Are you actually talking to God? You know, you can go places where the worship on first sight is exciting and loud and there are lots of people, but sometimes you can go to those places and think, this is all fake. This is all put on. And the reality is our worship mustn't be like that. It must be authentic. Our praying must be authentic. Our preaching must be authentic. Everything we do, our compassion, our mercy, our love, that must be authentic. All of these things need to have the truth of God in them. The last aspect of truth that I want to talk about today is probably one that doesn't come straight to mind. But it's accountability. Harry S. Truman, former President of the United States, had on his desk this particular sign. Now, I don't know if that's the original or it's a copy of it, but that's what it looked like on his desk. The book stops here. Why did it say that? Because ultimately, in that nation, he had the final word on everything. And the accountability stopped with him. He was accountable to his electorate. He was the person who everyone expected to make the right decisions. He was voted into that place and he had the final say. He could sack an admiral. He could make a man a general. He could do anything. within reason, within the power of a man. Accountability is a key factor in our values as a church, because we believe that firstly, all of us are accountable to God. It says in Romans 14 verse 12, each of us will give an account of himself to God. You can't get out of that. We will all stand before God. But we also believe it's necessary within the structure of the local church to have accountability. I was talking to someone recently and they rang me because they're having problems in their local church. And of course this church has no accountability whatsoever. It's entirely independent. It has nobody overseeing it. When everything goes wrong, they have to just shout for anybody for help because they don't have any accountability. And of course the problems in that church happened because someone who themselves had absolutely no accountability, didn't see the leadership of the church as having any relevance to them, they stood up and said something which offended everybody. And you know, at the end of the day, that was because there was no accountability. We had someone turn up this morning who stayed for the longest time that he's ever stayed. He comes about once a year, stays for 10 minutes maximum, and then goes. And he wanted me to give him a platform this morning, and I refused. Why? Because he has no accountability. He would not be accountable to me or the leadership of this church, and what he would have to say would probably be a message from a demon rather than a message from Jesus. But accountability in the local church is vital. Firstly, let me make this clear to you. As a church, we are accountable to ground level. The leadership of this church, the local leadership, has signed to say that if we have financial impropriety, if we have an incorrect teaching on theology that is inappropriate for the church, or if we have deviant behaviour in the church leadership, which is for example, sexual promiscuity or something like that, that ground level have the right to come in and sort us out. Ground level, as a national body, are our direct line of accountability. Locally, we are part of One Voice. Now, One Voice is a relational group, and not everybody has followed my example on this, but I have made myself accountable in One Voice to the joint chairs. They know that at any time they can speak into my life, and they also have the right to slap me around the ear if I am dealing inappropriately. And the fact is, we see enough of each other to know that that level of relational accountability is viable because it works. You see, David Caswell, vicar at Clifton, he said to me, "Stephen, I think you have more accountability than I do." He says, "I can duck seeing the bishop for a year, but I can't duck seeing my bishop for more than a month." You know, once a month, I would have meetings with ground level. And the truth is that four times a year, I have intense meetings. And once a year, I have a leadership conference. And these things, they keep up my level of accountability and through me to the leadership of this church. I am also a presbyter of the Order of St. Leonard, a religious society which ordained me, and the Order of St. Leonard also give me a certain amount of oversight. I have standards of behaviour which I have had to sign a contract to say I will deliver on these standards of behaviour, and if not, they take away my credentials, which is a helpful method of dealing with people who are inappropriate in their behaviour. I am subject legally to the trustees of this church. So Jayam, Paul, you know, and everyone knew I'm subject to my wife. So, but I am subject to the trustees of this church. They actually are the legal owners, if you like, of this charity. They are the directors of this charity, and I am subject to them. If we have good accountability within the leadership, it follows that we will have good accountability within the church. I'm not trying to bat this drum because I'm wanting to invoke lots of serious talks with people or tell them off or anything like that, because you know that's not the way we work. We speak to people when we have to do, and we do that in love. You know, we don't ever sit all of us leaders on one side of a desk and one person quivering at the other side and shout at them. It's not what we do. You know, we come alongside, we put an arm around people and we say, you know, what's going on? What can we help you with? And we try to encourage people and support them. That such is the level of truth in our accountability. We don't push authority very hard in this church. And that's because I've no desire to see your shopping list or require that you behave in certain manners when you're not in the church. And at the end of the day, I recognise that I'm just as human as you are. But we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. And what's really important is that we remember that and we honour that in a chain of accountability in the local church. So, we're going to get to that word, conclusion. And with that, our statement of, our draft statement of the value of truth. We value truth, honesty, integrity, and authenticity. Jesus, the truth, sets us free and lights up our life. We value the truth of the Bible. We want our worship to be authentic. We aim to live our lives with integrity and we speak honestly to each other. We believe in personal and corporate accountability, which are never to be feared if you have strong relationships based on truth. We believe in relational accountability. We believe that you can be accountable to people where you have a relationship with them, and that is what we believe about truth. This morning, as we come to the end of this particular section of these flecks of gold that we're going through, I want us just to pray, and I'd just like you to bow your heads. This morning, some of you might just be having a problem with truth. Maybe that's something you should have shared and you haven't. Maybe it's something you did share and you shouldn't. Maybe it's something that you haven't been living right about. I'm not going to ask you to make any public show of that, but I want you just in this moment of quiet that we're about to have, I want you to talk to God about it, because it's important that you know that you are right with God, because you don't want to be leaving this until you're stood in front of Him. Let's just think for a moment and talk to God. Father, this morning we open our hearts and lives to you. We cannot conceal anything from you. And Lord, we're just trying this morning to be totally open before you. And we ask that the truth of Jesus might be evident in our lives. We pray that our Monday to Saturday lives would be just as much truth in them as our Sunday life. We ask you, Father, that we might demonstrate the truth of Jesus to people, that we might not be dominating or domineering or manipulative in any way, but that in every way we might represent the truth with integrity, with accountability, with authenticity in our lives. Help us, Father, to recognize that we are always in the best place when we are in accountable relationships. And Father, we thank you for this church. We thank you for the love in it, the respect in it. We thank you for the way that you have been so good to us and kept us over the years. Right now, Father, we just bless all of those who are missing this morning, but most of all, we bless all of those who are here. And we ask you, Father, that each one of us might go away knowing you more clearly and having living lives full of truth. In Jesus' name, amen.